So welcome to the Student Accountant podcast series. Today I have joining me from the wilds of Yorkshire, UK, a special guest, Matt Craven, who's going to share with us some tips about how to go about finding a job and how to market yourself most effectively. So hello, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
So would you like, first of all, to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Yes. So obviously I'm Matt Craven. I'm the founder and managing director of a company called the CV and Interview Advisors, amongst other ventures. But what we specialize in is providing career development and personal branding advice, help, content and services to job seekers. We work extensively across the finance and accountancy sector, and really what we're here to do is to help finance and people from other professions to move forward in their career.
Interesting. So personal branding sounds kind of extreme to me. Like, is that something that just a regular job seeker should be thinking about?
Absolutely. I guess good old Jeff Bezos, who's the CEO of Amazon, sums it up nicely. He says that your personal brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And I guess everybody has a personal brand, whether they like it or not. When you interact with people, they are left with an impression, and that impression is your personal brand. So whether you're interacting with people in person, online, through social media, in a job interview, in employment, it doesn't matter. You have a personal brand. And personal branding is just really the process of managing that rather than letting it happen by accident. You know, job seekers, the better their personal brand, the better their professional footprint, the more likely it is that people will see positive indicators and be interested in hiring them.
Great. Well, thanks for that sort of overview. So I want to start off by thinking about CVs, because that's often the first thing that we start putting together when we're looking for a job. And whatever industry we're in nowadays, there are more and more people competing in a very crowded marketplace. So how do I get my CV to stand out from everyone else's?
Yes, well, there's a number of things, but if I think about the main issues that come up when we review people's CV. So we provide lots of people with a free critique of their CV, and there's common mistakes each and every time. And the main thing I say to people when I personally review CVs is, tell me how I can tell that you're good at your job. And as a general rule, people sit there for about, I had it yesterday with a lady, and she kind of went quiet for about 30 seconds, and she went, you can't, can you really? I'm like, no, because you've not put any achievements or outcomes into your CV. It's all about tasks. It's all about you. And you don't talk about the outcomes and achievements and benefits that you've driven. Now, obviously, when you're at the more junior end of the market, granted, it's harder to talk about outcomes and achievements, but you know, there are ways you can do that. You know, if you give evidence of your skills, things that you've done, things that you've been involved with, if you think hard enough, you will be able to come up with evidence that you did that particular task well. And that's one of the big things.
And is it worth putting down things that aren't necessarily connected with your work, but like achievements outside of the workplace kind of thing?
Well, absolutely. If you're very early in your career and you've got limited work experience, what I would recommend you do is actually think about experience you have that matches up with the skills that you're going to need to have. So you look at a finance candidate, you can forget about, I can work well in a team as well as on my own. Forget about leadership, because you're not going to be leading people. Okay, attention to detail maybe, but honest, reliable and trustworthy, you can forget all those things. They're cliched. They're not the things that recruiters and employers are responding to. Think about project management. Think about explaining financial information to non-financial people. Think about stakeholder management. Think about having an understanding of financial and economic principles. And try to give evidence through things that you've done in your life. That could be at university or college or school. It could be in work. It could be on an internship. It could be extracurricular. Think about things that you've done that prove you have those skills. Let me give you a really interesting and quite simple example. I remember talking to a young gentleman quite some time ago now, but he wanted to get a job in a commercial environment. So we thought it might be a good idea to demonstrate that he had some commercial acumen, some commercial awareness, maybe some entrepreneurial skills. And we were racking our brains trying to think of some examples. And he said to me, well, look, I tell you what I used to do when I was at school. On a Monday morning, I used to take my big cricket bag to school with me, empty. I used to jump off the school bus outside Costco. Costco is a big cash and carry that we have in the UK. He used to use his dad's Costco card, and he used to go in, because he needed a card. He used to go into Costco, and he used to buy literally a cricket bag full of confectionery. And he used to take that to school, and he was like the one man tuck shop. He used to sell the confectionery to all the people at school. And actually, he used to generate, I think if I remember rightly, it was definitely a couple of hundred pounds every month that he was generating from this little venture. Now, you know, it's a little bit wheeler dealer, but I think that's fantastic. If you're an employer looking for somebody with some entrepreneurial spirit, some business acumen, and you've got a little mini case study on your CV that talks about doing that, and you put the heading at the top, you know, commercial awareness or entrepreneurialism, and you have a little mini case study, and we'd recommend writing that in a little formula called STAR, situation, task, action, result. No longer than 6 lines long, put that on page one, and then maybe you have another little case study that's about project management, another little case study that's about understanding financial and economic principles, another little case study that's around stakeholder management or relationship building. All of a sudden, you've got these little case studies about things that you've done in your life or in education or in work, and you've got headings at the top of them which tie in with the skills that your future employees need you to have. And you're just ticking boxes. The person reviewing your CV is walking through the CV thinking, right, we need somebody with X, Y, and Z and A, B, C, and you are just giving examples that prove that you've got those. Now, some people will say, but I haven't got any examples like that. What is to stop you going out this weekend and doing something? What's to stop you going out and raising some money for charity? What's to stop you buying some bankrupt stock for a cheap amount of money and going to a car boot sale and doing a turning a profit? You know, there are so many. I call these apprentice style tasks, a little bit like the tasks they do on The Apprentice. It's all about being proactive with your career and going out and gaining experience that you can then use as leverage on your CV.
So it sounds like there's a few things here. One of them is kind of looking at what skills you will be required to have in your job, and then giving really good, clear examples of you having used those skills in the CV. And the other thing is that in a way, it sounds like you're making it easy for the person who's looking at your CV to tick those boxes. You're sort of doing some of the work for them, so they don't have to root through looking for whether you might fit the job. You're saying, look, here, I do.
Exactly. It's tailoring that CV to the needs of your target audience. It's the ABCs of marketing. And that's why we talk about personal branding, because finding a job is a marketing exercise. And the job seeker is the product or service. The CV is the marketing collateral. The words that you use and the information that you provide is no different than any other marketing scenario. Yeah.
So let's just think about LinkedIn now. How important do you think having a LinkedIn profile is as a business tool?
Yeah, well, I think what we've got to look at LinkedIn as is move away from this thing that it's social media. When I'm coaching people, the first thing I say is LinkedIn is not social media. It's two things. It's a three things. It's a professional networking site where people can network with each other. It is also the place to be if you are looking for a job. But it's also the largest candidate database in the world. 600 million professionals. So if you're a recruiter looking for talent, there is no better place to look for talent than LinkedIn. You've got access to 600 million people of all different backgrounds and professions, and you know, this is where recruiters are doing their recruitment, and you know, therefore you need to be on there. But also I should add that it's not just a tool for finding a job. It's also a tool for building your personal brand, for other reasons, for, you know, internal career progression, for showcasing yourself to your industry or to your peers and colleagues. It's also a tool for businesses and people within businesses to generate business and use it as a business development and lead generation tool. So, you know, your LinkedIn profile is your window to the outside world. It's there for the whole world to see. You know, there's no point having a shoddy, homemade, badly put together LinkedIn profile that doesn't look like you've given it any care and attention, because that will damage your personal brand.
Okay, so great. So do you have any good tips about how to make your LinkedIn profile look really good and really appealing?
Yeah, a few tips. Don't just copy and paste your CV. Think about being a little bit more informal with your style. When you write a CV, we would recommend that you don't use subjective pronouns. And what I mean by that is I and my. You don't need to use I and my on a CV. It's written in a more third party style, or third person style rather. On LinkedIn, you can be more informal. So you can use I and my and make it sound a little bit more conversational. That works well. But some of the same principles apply. You've got to tell people what it is that you do, who you do it for, and how that will benefit them. So always be thinking about your target audience rather than just, and this is one of the things I constantly have to remind myself, but also the people I coach, is when you're trying to sell anything to anybody, don't sell the features, sell the benefits. So if you're just saying to people, well, I can do this, this, and this, or I am this, this, and this, it doesn't resonate. What the person who's reading your LinkedIn profile is thinking about is, what can you do for them? How can you make their life better? How can you fill a need within their organization? What business benefits can you drive forwards? You know, for example, if you're super duper fantastic with Excel, you can talk about how your skills can develop enhanced reporting capability, which gives real-time information to an organization, which aids strategic decision making and feeds into their ability to make profit. You don't have to get that senior in your career before you actually can have that impact on an organization.
Right. So there's an element of confidence as well. It's kind of maybe confidence building to do this process, because you see actually the impact of your skills.
Absolutely. One of the things our customers often comment on is that it's not just the fact that they've got this super duper fantastic CV now, it's the fact that they've become much more self-aware about their own capabilities and their own strengths, and they feel much more confident going forwards in the job market and how they can sell themselves and position themselves. It feeds into the whole interview process. Yeah, very worthwhile.
Yeah. Moving on to interviews, actually. So let's say we've managed to capture an employer's attention and we've got ourselves an interview. What's the best way to prepare for that?
Yeah. What I would recommend everybody does is they sit down and they create what we call a career autobiography. If you actually were to sit down and write down all the key events that have happened in your career or in school, in university, out in extracurricular stuff that you've done in work, anything that's got professional value, you sit down and you write down all those things that have happened, you know, successes, failures, you write them all down. I would write them in that STAR form, situation, task, actions, and result. And I would put them in a big spreadsheet, and then I would start assigning skills to them. So maybe each skill is a tab on a spreadsheet. So you have a tab for project management, you have a tab for financial accounting, you have a tab for relationship building, you have a tab for stakeholder management, you have a tab for something else. You've got all these tabs. And when you click the tab, up pops one or two or three or more little case studies that relate to that skill. And then you build this out. You know, you start now, but you build it out. And every couple of months throughout your career, you update it. And this becomes your chart, your log of all the good stuff that you've done in your career. And if you get clever with assigning case studies to skills, you know, next time you're preparing for an interview and you know that they need you to have these six skills, you click those tabs on your big spreadsheet, up pop some examples, you learn those examples, and then when you go to the interview, you will never ever get asked a question you don't have an answer for unless you genuinely don't have that skill.
It sounds a little bit like studying for an exam on yourself.
It's learning yourself. As my dad once said to me when I was a lot younger, and I said to him, you know what, Dad, I just not very good at exams. And he said to me with his big booming voice, he said, son, it's not the exam that's difficult. It's doing the revision. And that's always stuck with me. And I coach people on that because interviews aren't difficult. Doing the revision is, and the revision is learning yourself and creating your career autobiography.
Nerves sometimes get in the way in an interview situation. Often I find myself saying things that afterwards I wish I hadn't. So what can I do to stop myself from rambling on in an interview situation?
Yeah, well, great question. I think the first thing is go there with don't go there as if you're going to a funeral, because a lot of people adopt that kind of demeanor, that kind of downbeat, quite morbid demeanor when they go to interviews. Go there like you're looking forward to it. Big handshake, big smile. I'm happy to be here. But when it comes to rambling, there's something we call the ramble prevention technique. And you'll have heard me reference this twice already during this podcast, is the STAR formula. So when you are asked to give an example of something, the way you would answer that is in STAR. So you start by saying the situation, then you describe the task, then you describe the actions, and then you describe the result. So if you were to say to me, hey, Matt, give me an example of when you've made something better, I would say to you, and I would say situation, task, action, result out loud. I'd say, well, the situation was when I was working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. This is about 20 years ago now, but when I was working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, the situation was that they had acquired an unprofitable competitor that had several branches in the south of England. And at the time, I was a sales and operations manager. And my task was to go down to Brighton and turn that Brighton office around from losing money, basically gone bust, into profitability as quickly as possible. So my actions were to go down to the branch. I had to look at the fleet, change the fleet, make sure that the fleet mix we had was profitable. I got rid of some of the underperforming people, hired some better people. I injected a bit of a sales culture, changed the way that we did business, and so on and so forth. And the result was that I managed to take that business from losing probably about £10,000 a month to break even within 6 months, after which I left and did something else. But you see how I answered that? That must have been about a 30-second answer, but there was a lot of detail in that. And I talked through it in STAR, situation, task, actions, result. I said those words out loud. It's absolutely foolproof. I cannot go wrong because I've forced myself to deliver the answer in a certain structure. And it works. I think a lot of people are a little bit blasé about job seeking. You think about what it is that you're really pitching for and how much money is at stake. Think about how you can prove that you can give return on investment.
Yeah, so it's like everything. You do the work beforehand, and then when you get in there, you have to somewhat let it go. So let your personality come through a little bit and just relax. But if you haven't done the preparation and you just wing it, then it's probably not going to come off.
Agree, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Great. Well, listen, thank you so much for sharing all these really helpful insights. Obviously, you really know what you're talking about. If people want to look into what you offer, they can visit your website, which is cvandinterviewadvisors.co.uk. Is that right?
Yes, they can. So the two things they can do, they can go and have a look around our website. We have set up a special page for ACCA students, affiliates, and members. There's a special offer that we have with a number of different services on there. So you just go to www.cvandinterviewadvisors.co.uk/ACCA April.
Okay.
And also, if anybody would like a free, and I mean free, genuinely free, appraisal of their CV, and or LinkedIn profile, then we're more than happy to offer that. Just contact us at info@cvandinterviewadvisors.co.uk.
Great. Okay. Well, and yeah, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening in, and we'll be in touch soon.